News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, 8:07. Great to hear Rennie Brabner's voice and work on that Ash Wednesday Moon Pie Minute. It is indeed Ash Wednesday. That meant yesterday was Fat Tuesday, and it was It was fat. It was fat, all right.
Yeah.
236,000, something like
236,000 people, revelers, turned out downtown yesterday. What did Mobile Mask say? 14,000 more than we saw last year.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it with Dr. Bill. Amazing that we were able to make it through the entire Mardi Gras season with as little weather interference as we did. I mean, yesterday probably wasn't the easiest day to get out there and throw or be thrown to. But other than that, really just a week and a half ago, that Sunday where it was cold and rainy, kind of drizzling, I think, more than anything, and they were still able to parade then, and only 800 people turned out. Other than that, I think every day that we had parades was really nice weather.
It was good to really good. I think you're right. Yesterday, you know, I got down there early, around 7 o'clock, and I just decided I was just going to try to – I just wanted to experience it. I knew I couldn't be down there all day. So I just wanted to watch it all slowly come to life, and that's what I saw. I mean, you know, the tents going up, people beginning to grill out, cook out.
You were really worried about those tents.
I was worried about those tents, and I was worried about those revelers, like with the Condi Cavaliers, the Knights of, the KOR. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, high up on the, just depending if that windy weather came in time to mess with the parades a little bit, but it looks like we got through okay, and they moved the parades up, so everything got in. I mean, it was just... It made me remember that this city is special in that way. I mean, this doesn't happen everywhere. It's really kind of cool. I mean, you may be anti-Mardi Gras. If you are, you've got your own beliefs, and I understand that, and that's fine. But I'm just telling you, to me, and just watching everybody, it wasn't like a hyped up feeling. I left there around 12:30 or so, came back home, but as I was leaving, I was just kind of documenting it a little bit.
Good vibes.
Perfect. Good vibes. And a lot of fun. So now it's on to, here's Ash Wednesday. We kind of reorganize our life and get things back in some sort of an order. And the storm came in just in time, and that was after everything had already concluded. And it almost feels like, okay, there's a clean wash.
A reset button.
Yeah.
And as far as, you know, and by the way, I want to get to this before I forget again, Gulf Coast Girl texting, is there a way to listen to the full season of Moon Pie Minutes? And there is. If you go to our website, fmtalk1065.com, and you can either type it in, fmtalk1065.com/moonpie-minute, or you can just go to that front page, and at the top of the page, you'll see Moon Pie Minute. Or you can click, there's a picture that says Moon Pie Minute with all of our fantastic sponsors who helped make that happen this year. You can click on that, and it'll take you to the page that has every single Moon Pie Minute from the very first one of this season. And Leanna also is currently working on combining all of the Moon Pie Minutes into one nice video that we'll post to Facebook. Thank you again to Stephen McNair for the great work that he put in once again this year to be the voice of the Moon Pie Minutes. And, of course, he took that baton from the great late Rennie Brabner, and every year we wrap up Moon Pie Minutes with Rennie's Ash Wednesday Moon Pie Minute. From dust you came, from dust you shall return. And if you want to listen to that, it is on our website right now, fmtalk1065.com, along with the rest of the Moon Pie Minutes. As far as controversy this Mardi Gras, you remember last year we had the horses. Was it last year or the year before? I know plenty of years where we've discussed the bags of beads being thrown off and people being injured by throws, but this year I didn't really see many controversial. I guess just a couple, and who knows whether they're, you know, you can't account for these because it's just on Facebook, but in some of these, like, Mobile groups, I saw one person trying to find someone who, they said, threw a mango at them, and they were hit with a mango and injured.
Okay.
And then someone else said, like, a bag of something very unsavory was thrown From one of the floats that hit them.
A bag of broken glass?
A bag of, not broken glass, but let's just say you eat something and it comes back up.
Yeah, so okay.
A bag of that. I don't know. But overall.
Well, what was the controversy about the, there was two organizational.
There were, actually, you're right. Because you had one of the organizations where a member, they said, took over $1 million basically from a business that she was with.
Yeah.
I think I need to be careful because I'm just trying to say what I remember.
One of the ladies groups.
Yeah, one of the ladies groups. There were some organizational kind of drama this year. Some of the societies had some drama.
They did.
You had the New Order of Chaos, and the Order of Chaos didn't like the name there. And then there was also some controversy there. Regarding, I guess, dues or fees or something.
Somebody split off.
Maybe behind the scenes, there's a little bit more drama this year and less so behind the barricades, that kind of drama.
I think there was less drama. The Sean Sullivan Mardi Gras Index was down this year. Sean himself loves Mardi Gras.
Oh, yeah.
Just a, mobile guy through and through. But Sean has ended up, not on in the headlines, but... he'll tell us stories. We're like, oh, that wasn't good. But yeah, I think that Sean had a great time this year.
Yeah.
And the Sean Index was plateaued.
He was chill.
I think it was pretty chill
for Sean. Yeah, yeah. That's right. 251-343-0106. And a lot was going on while you were partying your brain off down there at Mardi Gras. Of course, the legislative session continues in Montgomery. We'll get to the veterans bill later this hour as now. State Senator Andrew Jones, who sponsored the Senate version of the bill that would have changed the way the commissioner for the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs is appointed and then the job duties of that commissioner, and it would also change the makeup of the board. Well, now State Senator Andrew Jones, along with Senator Greg Albritton from our neck of the woods and several others, have put out a video explaining why they think this legislation is good. We will get into that here on the way. But let's start with last night and the big Trump speech. It wasn't technically a State of the Union address, although it was, but usually first year presidents don't do that.
Yeah.
But he was invited by the House Speaker to come give a joint address to Congress, and that's what he did last night. And it ended up being the longest of any of those kinds of addresses ever, topping out Bill Clinton's, 98 speech that he gave. And you would think that that meant there was a lot of rambling, like we've seen Trump do, especially the later into his speech you go, you start to kind of lose the plot. He didn't do that at all last night. He stayed on point, and the entire speech, basically, the way they set it up, he would talk about the things they've accomplished. Well, I should say he started, and I don't know if it was intentional on his part, but with the mood of the room, you talked about how you were in the streets of Mobile downtown yesterday. I imagine the air... there in D.C. was the exact opposite of that last night as Trump entered to speak with Congress because the Democrats were ready to fight. And you watch all of the coverage and you make your own opinion of this. The way they handled that politically, and you could say it was an embarrassment. Let's just talk about the political aspect of how they decided to go about that Trump speech last night. The Democrats couldn't have chosen a worse way to do it. They were going to basically do a silent kind of protest, but also when he started, they were just shouting him down and fighting him. You had Al Green from Texas who was talking about Medicaid, and you knew his whole point was to be taken out, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't going
to
sit down.
No, he wanted to be disruptive and to the point where he had to be taken out of the place. So he took one for the team, but I think that was very intentional.
But Trump was also kind of, he stuck his nose in there. They were coming at him, and he came right back at them. After Al Green got tossed, and this is kind of to show you kind of how heated things were to start, this was Trump in the opening, and you could hear it's a lot rowdier than when he's speaking later in the speech.
Yes.
Now, for the first time in modern history, more Americans believe that our country is headed in the right direction than the wrong direction. In fact, it's an astonishing record, 27-point swing, the most ever.
And he was doing some trolling, trust me. He was there's some lines there where he was really throwing it at them.
He was looking at them. You know, I mean, the room was to the right. You have depending on his right, the Democrats.
Yeah.
And you could see him just kind of swinging his shoulders and looking right at them when he had a blow to deliver.
And so it was really, I don't know if they did it intentionally, but the way they made this speech to be so positive, and he's saying, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing. We're knocking them down left and right. And then to, in different parts of the speech, not all at once, but bring in some of the same people we saw on the campaign trail, mm-hmm. you know, the family of Lake and Riley.
Yep.
And talking about that bill. How about that Jocelyn Nungare and naming a massive portion of the Gulf of America,
uh-huh.
naming a reserve in her honor. Seeing that one got me just about more than any of the others mm-hmm. to start tearing up. He had a 13-year-old child, boy, who is fighting brain cancer, said he wanted to be a police officer. They made him an honorary member of the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
So they put these things in through the speech, and the Democrats, who had already, you know, played their hand, they said they weren't going to stand for any of this stuff. Absolutely. A majority of them did not stand for any of these things, even when you're talking about a child with brain cancer or someone whose family member had been assaulted and then killed by illegal aliens.
Yeah.
And they played that so well that the Democrats looked like absolute fools. And their other thing was to wear pink. Okay, great protest, right? You think he's Hitler, you're going to protest by wearing pink. Doesn't really match the words that you're putting out there. And then the bingo signs.
Yeah.
It said what? I guess they were like kind of like fortune cookies. They all had different things on them.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime you hold a sign up in this day and age, it is going to be memed. Someone is going to take that sign and meme you and make that sign say what they want it to say, usually to humorous ends.
Sure.
So whoever, and I saw MSNBC, they were actually lighting the Democrats up for that response yesterday, too. They said, politically, this didn't make any sense, at least for a portion of it.
Wow.
They said, whoever decided to use the bingo signs needs to be fired. But as far as the Trump speech itself, and I'm seeing some texts from you this morning, we'll get into it a little further here on the other side of the break, some of the stuff he said. On point, some are saying it was his best speech ever, and I think that's not far off, especially with the way he closed the speech, so positive. And I know there's a lot going on right now, and you could say there aren't some positive things coming out of this administration, but at least the way it was portrayed last night, I was dang fired up for the next 3.5 years.
And can we play that final portion of the speech?
That's what I'm hoping to do, yeah.
Okay.
So I've got some other stuff I want to play here. Also, Greenland came up. A death penalty for killing law enforcement officers.
Yep.
He talked about the assassination attempt on his life, a big arrest made from ISIS-K. We'll get into that and a whole lot more when Mobile Mornings continues, plus your texts and calls, 251-343-0106.
It's hard to say that the whole speech was well executed because it was long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a baseball game. You got 9 innings. You're going to boot a ball around at some point. But I thought for the most part, everything I saw was... He executed very well.
Yeah, he stayed on point.
He did. 8:19, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And we're so glad to have you along on this Ash Wednesday. 8:24, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this Ash Wednesday. Simmer down, everybody. Get your stuff together. Don't be cracking a beer and all that stuff. That's over with.
Yeah.
We're done with that.
It's 40 strong days, okay? That's what
yeah.
you need here.
Focus.
Text line, let's see here. Fire Dog, the comparison is stark. Go back and watch Biden's snoozer of a speech in 2021 versus this speech. Also, note the Republicans not wearing pink or holding signs. This would be a great commercial for the Republicans. Doesn't That Matter said, the Democrats showed their true colors last night, refusing to stand for murder victims, a child cancer survivor, and a West Point cadet. Excuse me. Said their behavior is deplorable. Yeah, how about him letting the West Point cadet know during the speech that he was accepted? He had applied to go to West Point.
Yeah, that was cool.
And it was clearly a surprise. The kid had no idea.
Yeah.
Although, I think if I were going there, I would have a pretty strong feeling
intuition,
that might come up.
Yeah. Right.
It may be just a good
actor. And it turns out you can't come.
Yeah, you've been denied. That's sad. So I thought he had some very memorable portions of last night's speech, like talking cartels.
The territory to the immediate south of our border is now dominated entirely by criminal cartels that murder, rape, torture, and exercise total control. They have total control over a whole nation, posing a grave threat to our national security. The cartels are waging war on America, and it's time for America to wage war on the cartels, which we are doing.
And he mentioned Ukraine and the spending kind of separately from his conversation about Zelensky, who put a social media post out there, and then I guess a letter also to the president saying he's ready to come back to the table and talk minerals deal. He's ready to sign. Well, he before that spoke about the spending and how it needs to stop, and he's trying to get these minerals. And then the Democrats started cheering when he started talking about Ukraine. One of them in particular, he points out Elizabeth Warren here.
I'm also working tirelessly to end the savage conflict in Ukraine. Millions of Ukrainians and Russians have been needlessly killed or wounded in this horrific and brutal conflict with no end in sight. The United States has sent hundreds of billions of dollars to support Ukraine's defense with no security, with no anything.
Now, right here, he realizes the Democrats are the ones clapping, and he's scowling at them.
Do you want to keep it going for another 5 years? Yeah, you would say Pocahontas says yes.
So, Elizabeth Warren there. One of the families that he brought there, the wife and two daughters of Corey Comparator, who was killed, he was murdered, during that assassination attempt on Trump's life in Butler, PA, and he spoke about that last night.
I believe that my life was saved that day in Butler for a very good reason. I was saved by God to make America great again. I believe that.
And that, of course, came after some very, very kind words to the family of Comparator. He spoke about Greenland. A lot of folks are waiting to hear what he had to say about that.
And I also have a message tonight for the incredible people of Greenland. We strongly support your right to determine your own future. And if you choose, we welcome you into the United States of America. We need Greenland for national security and even international security. And we're working with everybody involved to try and get it. But we need it really for international world security. And I think we're going to get it. One way or the other, we're going to get it. We will keep you safe. We will make you rich, and together we will take Greenland to heights like you have never thought possible before.
And he laid out a pretty good pitch, but he also said, we're going to get it one way or the other.
Yeah, which means when you're talking about Trump, that they're going to get it one way or the other. Also, would you wonder what Greenland, what the citizens of that small nation are thinking right now? They're suddenly thrust into the middle of a Trump agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Greenland not much to do with the United States, you would think on a day-to-day basis, and suddenly they're not only on the map here in the U.S., they're on Trump's map.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're excited, maybe they're...
I think there's some that feel either way.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's also been some...
It's just kind of happened out of the blue, but I know China, the concern of China has got something to do with...
China and Russia.
And Russia.
Yeah, and the buildup in the Arctic,
yeah.
And then also you have a bunch of minerals there as well. And then also
with the... good news about the Panama Canal, too. I guess you would call it good news.
That's a controversial one, and I'd love to know what some of you think about that, because, you know, we've talked about BlackRock. I keep wanting to say Blackstone. Mm-hmm. I have this new griddle out back. But BlackRock, and they're the ones who made this, so along with other investors, over $26 billion purchase of these two Hong Kong-owned ports.
Yep.
At the canal. This is what Trump was talking about when he said he wanted to fix the canal right. But it was BlackRock, and it's a company, well, they've done a lot of things. They're not exactly the most well-liked company, but they are American, so you have that.
8:30, Dan and Dalton.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 8:35 on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. And this segment brought to you by the great folks over at Tobias and Comer Law, a local personal injury law firm that's helped get fair compensation for a bunch of people in our area. They've been doing it for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street, as local as it gets there at Tobias and Comer Law, whether you're talking with Desi Tobias, Brian Comer, Lacey Smith, or any of the fine people they have working there. They'll help guide you through your case from the time you first talk with them until it's over. Then they'll pass that responsibility on to another lawyer who you've never met, who might not even be from the area. From car to boating accidents, defective products, workplace accidents, maritime injuries. Tobias and Comer Law, they've seen it all down there on Dauphin Street. Their website's great and full of useful information. If you're interested, tobiascomerlaw.com. Also, phone number, you'll want to keep this handy for a free consultation any time of the day. You can call 251-432-5001. And again, that website, tobiascomerlaw.com.
Starting to see some different trends with coverage of Trump with some of the networks that you say would be losers, that they lean so far left that they lost in that election. And the viewership is way down to anybody, to MSNBC and CNN. Not that they were great, but like Joy Reid lost, she lost her job, but she also lost
bunch of viewers.
Just a bunch of viewers in three months. And so it was a business decision. Her message is not working. She's got to go. This is a CNN analyst about a poll that came out Monday or yesterday itself. A couple of polls have come out recently, but he's almost way too enthusiastic about how well Trump is being perceived, I guess. Check it out.
Well, I think the easiest way we can kind of just ask this is, do Americans like the way that Trump's handling his job and compare it to how they felt about Joe Biden? So this is the net approval rating. You look at Joe Biden back in 2024, he was 22 points underwater. Holy cow. You look at Donald Trump, it's just a different planet entirely. I mean, the gulf between these two is wider than the Gulf of America or Mexico, depending on which side of the aisle you stand on. He's at plus two. So look, at this particular point, Americans are giving Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt. He's doing considerably better than Joe Biden was doing on the handling of the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And so on this simple question, I think Americans are saying, okay, Donald Trump's doing all right on this.
In the break room, did they say, hey, Jerry, you got to calm it down a little?
Yeah, cut it out, man. This is CNN, brother.
You can read if you want to read the story, that's okay. That's okay. That'll make it sound fair. But you kind of went over the top with your enthusiasm just a little bit.
Yeah, for them anyway, right? But, I was surprised. A little clip I saw from MSNBC, they were pretty critical of the Democrat response last night. Not the actual response from Slotkin. Boy, I turned into the first couple minutes. I said, okay, this might be the tone they need to strike. Because she started by saying the same things that Trump's saying. Bring jobs back to America, blah, 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 blah. And then she started in on Trump. And it's like, man, you guys still haven't figured that one out.
And by the way, the other day, mixed in all of this, Trump introduced the chip company that's coming to Arizona.
So you had a Taiwan company said they were going to invest a bunch of money.
A big deal, big money deal.
To try to avoid some tariffs,
right?
I believe was their reasoning.
Exactly. So there you go again.
Let's get to some text, and I'll play that outstanding final few minutes of that speech last night. I think it'll go down in history. Thank you, Paul. a picture of a vehicle that I believe was towed from Mardi Gras, and it looks like it has some Mardi Gras left on it. Thank you, Paul. I haven't eaten breakfast, so that's fine. This texter says, Warren Buffett owns BlackRock and Vanguard.
I don't think that's...
That's Ricky. Okay, Ricky.
Ricky, there you go.
Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway own shares of BlackRock. He does not own BlackRock. There's a major difference, but thanks for playing. Pete says, Alabama veterans heading back to Montgomery tomorrow to hopefully defeat SB 67 if it goes to a floor vote. Thank you, Pete, and I know your voice will be heard.
Yeah.
We'll get to some audio because Senator Andrew Jones and Senator Albritton put out a video on Facebook telling their side of why it's a good bill.
Right.
Get into that here in just a minute. Doesn't that matter? Said Trump was in nature boy mode last night. Woo! this texter, that's funny. A BlackRock and AT&T just joined and made a company called Giga Power and AT&T joined forces so they can get money from the government for internet. This texter, Josh, I'd rather have Iceland. They have hot ladies like Bjork. Well, at least when she was younger, is what Josh says. Dirt Digger says Trump had that.
Yeah, I don't think we're requiring it because of how hot the ladies are.
No.
I think for other reasons.
What's under the ground, right?
Yeah.
And its location. Dirt Digger says Trump had that song going through his head last night, sign, everywhere. He saw a sign. If don't like we voted for Trump to downsize government, let us keep our not taxing us. Passing out all over the world. I think I got what you were trying to say there, Dirt Digger. One other texter, and I lost it in the mix here, but they said, you know, that was all great last night, but Trump will be judged just on the economy and whether he's able to bring inflation down. And I do agree with you on that. That's what it all comes back to, is the economy. And I think we're going to go through some rough, I don't know if it'll be a month of pain, a year of pain. The Republicans certainly don't want to see 2 years of pain, because the midterms become a real, real issue. But how much of a worry is that for Trump, who's term limited?
Well,
there is a timeline. I just don't know what the timeline on bringing the vehicle back onto the road is.
I don't know that the clock is ticking that loudly or that urgently right now. I think that he's doing so much. That chip deal with Taiwan, that was no small news.
But then he called last night for repealing a congressionally passed CHIP Act that Biden... it either went through, I know Trump was pushing for something like that in his term. This one went through with Biden. I think he felt like they had too many concessions, and that's why he wants Congress to renege on what they passed. But chips are in the news a whole lot here recently. Yeah, another texter.
It's 1 month in. I mean, think about that.
It's Ricky. Okay, so Ricky, he's trying to fight me on this Warren Buffett owning BlackRock. Warren Buffett owns BlackRock and Vanguard. And then I tell him, no, he owns shares through Berkshire Hathaway. And Ricky sends me a Google, no, Warren Buffett doesn't own BlackRock and Vanguard, but both are top shareholders at Berkshire Hathaway. Ricky, you got to figure out how all this works before you start on these theories, man. It's they own BlackRock is a massive, massive, not that Berkshire Hathaway isn't, but BlackRock is something else entirely. Warren Buffett does own shares. He doesn't own BlackRock, buddy. Let's get to this audio, and I'll get to that Andrew Jones bit as we bring it back to the state, too, before we talk with Jeff, but I thought that Trump's closing last night, and he stayed on point for a lot of the speech, even though there was some back and forth. I thought this was incredibly strong as he kind of brought it all to a close here. The last, let's say, 2 minutes of the Trump speech last night.
This will be our greatest era. With God's help, over the next 4 years, we are going to lead this nation even higher, and we are going to forge the freest, most advanced, most dynamic, and most dominant civilization ever to exist on the face of this earth. We are going to create the highest quality of life, build the safest and wealthiest and healthiest and most vital communities anywhere in the world. We are going to conquer the vast frontiers of science, and we are going to lead humanity into space and plant the American flag on the planet Mars and even far beyond.
That was Elon shouting, yeah.
Are the Democrats anti-Mars?
And through it all, we are going to rediscover the unstoppable power of the American spirit. And we are going to renew unlimited promise of the American dream. Every single day, we will stand up and we will fight, fight, fight for the country our citizens believe in and for the country our people deserve.
See what he did there.
I caught that.
My fellow Americans, get ready for an incredible future, because the golden age of America has only just begun. It will be like nothing that has ever been seen before. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
So there you go. I thought that was very, very strong. Very strong closing from the president last night. Your thoughts, 251-343-0106.
Well, you could say that it was a well-written speech, for mm-hmm. sure. But the point is, he had a lot of things to say. He had a lot of things to review and look at in just a few, month and a half now, something like that. Where were we at, Derek?
Yeah, we're about 6 weeks in, 7 weeks in.
So he actually has got a lot of victories and even attempted victories that he can point at. The Democrats are all, you know, they're saying, Why do the eggs cost? They were that way under Biden. He hasn't quite figured out the egg thing yet. You got the bird flu in the middle of all that, too. But they're like saying, where are the results?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the... They put out the This Blank Ain't True video.
Yeah.
They all read from the same script. Look, it sounds like I'm just hammering them, but it's kind of pathetic. And they, like you were saying, even in the final... In their retort, it was like she seemed like she was on the right path, and then she just went after Trump. And so many people in America right now aren't feeling that way at all.
No, and that's why I think really what the Democrats say or how they respond, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I mean, as far as whether they're carrying the tune of the people and expressing the frustration of their constituents, that matters in that sense, but they can't really do anything. So let's get back to the Alabama legislature. And, Bill, we've been keeping an eye on for some time. And I'll have to ask Jeff also with Senate Minority Leader Bobby Singleton, who's been doing a little bit of filibustering.
Yeah,
but he said lottery and gambling legislation he's hearing may come back up this session. But I want to get into the veterans bill. And over our Mardi Gras weekend, the rest of the state didn't really get Mardi Gras off, but... over this, I guess it was Monday maybe or yesterday, that a video started running as an ad on Facebook. And it's basically State Senator Andrew Jones, who sponsored the Senate version of the bill that would make the ADVA commissioner a cabinet-level position and would also adjust the role of the State Board of Veterans Affairs. And, of course, if you've been following this at all, veterans not liking this legislation much in any way and continue to push back. It already passed through the Senate, but State Senator Andrew Jones and Senator Greg Allbritt, and among some others, voiced this ad, kind of trying to tell their side of the story. Would love to know what you think of this.
You know, Alabama is considered one of the most military-friendly states in the United States. It's considered the second best state for veterans to retire. We want to make that number one. We want to keep working to improve access for veterans, improve services for veterans, and having a board that's kind of elevated, part of the governor's cabinet, has a diverse array of folks from all different communities across the state, different veterans populations. It's just going to help us further the cause for veterans.
What we're trying to do with the bill is to give the veterans a greater voice in the government of Alabama, not just the VSOs, but the veterans themselves. That's what we're trying to accomplish, so that those that have actually been literally in the firing line will be and have a stronger voice within the government of Alabama.
The first big impact is that the commissioner would become a governor cabinet level position that would be appointed by the governor.
Senator Cardinal.
That person has to be a veteran. You know, we're not just finding anybody out there that wants that job. It's got to be somebody that can relate to the population and constituency that they serve.
We all want the same thing. We want this to be the most veteran friendly state in the union.
Senator Sessions.
And we just want to make sure their voices are heard. They're a very important part of our state. And we certainly want to treat them with the dignity and respect, do everything we can to help them.
This bill gives our veterans a voice.
Senator
Price. And it's very important. So we want to make sure that they are represented, because what they have given to this state, we want to make sure they're always heard.
So that's the response. I'm not sure if we heard how exactly it's going to be better for the veterans. They just say it will be better for the veterans, and that it's a cabinet level position. They talk about the diversity of the board. You're going to get plenty more different types of veterans involved.
Let me say this. If they could tell you exactly how it's going to be better, it would have been in there.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're giving you all the, they're going on for 2 minutes about why this is a good move.
And we want to be the best. They say that. We want to be the best.
But they're not in the text. They're not
vocalized,
clearly telling you how it's going to be better. They're just saying basically it's going to be different. And what Pete Rehm is saying is a bunch of us are going to be up there tomorrow to try to take out SB 67. So clearly a lot of veterans are not happy with it.
I would say that is accurate. We'll see what Jeff Poore thinks of it. And he may be in Montgomery for the show today. We'll have to check on that and double check it. Regardless, you'll get plenty of good information when he joins us here in the next segment, and then for the Jeff Poore Show on the way next.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Ash Wednesday on Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:53. Guess a lot of us watched the same thing last night. President Trump addressing Congress.
And oh, a lot of us. I don't know.
Well, you might be wrong, but yeah,
there's a lot of people about that. Kind of cooling their jets after the parades.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Chris in Orange Beach, who ended up on Fox 10. He said, I had a blast yesterday rolling in the parade. It looks like it, Chris, and I don't think you were alone. So
it was fun.
Yeah, and Jeff Poor joins us here. I know he got out and did a little Mardi Gras and probably also found time to at least watch some of the speech last night. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And a little traveling for you as well. Did you make the trip this morning or yesterday?
Last night, wow. So hit the parades, and then got the little one all tucked in, and then we're headed north.
Yeah, wow.
So the Comet Cowboys, in a way, are almost like Super Bowl ads. Like people say, it used to be really good. But anyway, I know you're down the road.
Well, I haven't been listening, but what would y'all have given that presentation?
I don't know what.
They had some funny ones, yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
I guess people at this point want them to push the
envelope. Yeah.
Push it so far that they get in trouble, which they're probably honestly a little tired of getting in trouble.
Right.
Maybe not.
It's already happened.
Who do you have coming up today, Jeff? I know you have a lot of guests on the list.
Jam-packed show today. Joey Clark joining us here at the very top of the hour. We got a clip to play from the Alabama Senate floor, though, where my show gets called out.
Ooh.
Also, State Senator Greg Allbritton, our friend, he's the chairman of the General Fund in the State Senate. Danny Gary, the chairman of the Education Fund in the House. Also, State Representative Chip Brown from our neck of the woods. And then at 11 o'clock hour, Dave Mallory, he's a political consultant here in town. And I are going to just probably wind up talking about sports or something. I don't know.
Your thoughts on the Trump speech last night, how it started out the Democrats and Trump basically in a fist fight, and then things kind of settled and just was naming wins, kind of.
Yeah, well, and I thought he set them up nicely. I mean, there was nothing he was going to say that was going to get them to stand up and show any kind of a positive affirmative gesture. And he delivered on that. I'm surprised they took the bait. I think they look petty. If you're just a casual observer, and I don't know how many of these people are left in America, but you just watch this because it's on every channel and it's like the right thing to do, and you don't really have an opinion either way, and you see that. You've got to think, what a bunch of childish pricks.
Yeah, I was thinking that myself, and then I'm thinking, well, I'm in the business, you know, and I see things that hammer Democratic behavior all the time, and so how far slanted am I? But it did look, I mean, you had to pull out a little kid with cancer to get anybody over there to acknowledge anything. It was really sad.
Yeah, and I thought the paddle signs looked like it just looked like a middle school project or something.
I agree.
They didn't do themselves any favors. I mean, at best, they didn't do any harm to themselves, which I disagree. But, the last night is not the way you do it, guys.
A couple of legislative things I want to get to before we let you go. Senate Minority Leader Bobby Singleton, who's been filibustering, right? Late last week, he's hearing gambling may be back. Anything you're hearing?
Not really. I don't think they got the votes in the Senate. I mean, it's all about the Senate right now and gambling. They don't have the votes. They got to flip a few more votes because they lost one because Greg Reed went to go for Governor Ivey. So they lost a vote there. Where are they going to get the additional vote? Maybe it's Greg Allbritton. He was a no last time, but then you still got to overcome it with two. And I think the Senate Majority Leader. No, the Senate pro tem said, look, if we're going to bring it, you need to have an extra vote or two to spare so it won't get embarrassed again.
And speaking of Allbritton, who you're going to have on, this is great, at 9:30. He was part of this video that made its rounds on Facebook. You posted about it at 1819 News, or your team did. State Senator Andrew Jones, Allbritton, and some others pushing their side of this veterans bill. Where do we stand on that?
Yeah, and I thought that was interesting with him pushing that because Andrew Jones is putting a little bit of money in his district behind it. Like, he's needing to push that out on Facebook, which tells me, that he's getting a little pushback, but he wants to make his point that he's doing the right thing, which, objectively, you could say one way or another. But is he worried about something? Is there something going on there that has him concerned that he's having to spend a little campaign money to promote his valor on this issue.
We're about out of time, but what happens with the veterans, with Pete Greenman veterans being there live tomorrow? How uncomfortable does that make people feel?
I don't know. I mean, who knows if they go ahead and go through with it. I hear that there's just not a lot of appetite for that right now.
Okay. All right. Jeff Porcio on the way in mere minutes. And Mobile Morning's on the way in 21 hours. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. Join Jeff and then midday at noon right here on FM Talk 106.5.